This is November 18th, and this is Law of Mind.
17th.
I'm sorry, it's
17th. Good evening.
Good evening.
Now that we have the date straightened out. And here comes. Exactly who I thought. Do it again. All right. Would you turn to this young man and say, I am filled with joy.
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 I have a hard time believing that. I am filled with joy.
I am filled with joy.
What? I am filled with joy.
I am filled with joy.
I am filled with joy.
I'm filled with joy.
And I am filled with joy. Why is that so important, to know that you're filled with joy? We are filled with joy. But sometimes we don't use that joy, do we? Because we are looking for it on the outside of life. Joy is inside of you. Remember, it's a do-it-yourself project. All life starts on the inside and moves outward. You have to make yourself joyful. It is in your nature to be joyful. That is what you are on this plane of action, to discover that you're filled with joy, that you're filled with love, that you're filled with beauty, that you're filled with light. But we sat around thinking, oh, I want to be joyful. You know, I'm going to be 66 years old in February, and I'm not going to sit around and wait for joy to happen to me. I'm going to create joy inside of myself, the joy that is already there, and allow it to come bubbling up into my being and into my life. So if you're waiting any longer to feel joy or to be joyful and to be happy in this world, stop doing that to yourself. You'll be waiting until you die and it won't happen. It's inside of you. Everything that we talk about, everything that we want, is already inside of us. All we have to do is focus there. But we allow this mind of ours to focus on the outside of life all the time. We're always focusing outward, and we're always going out trying to discover things on the outside of life. Last week, I believe, they just put a new space shuttle up. And I have nothing against exploring outer space. I think that's a wonderful thing. Perhaps we'll find out something that's necessary. But we never explore inner space. And we have to explore inner space, meaning what is inside of you. What is inside of you? You see, there has to be a life, there has to be an energy, there has to be an intelligence inside of you. You wouldn't be sitting on that chair. You're not doing that by yourself. There's something causing that to happen. And it's a life, and it's a life force. And we all have that same life force. That's why we're all connected. You can call that life force anything that you want. People refer to it as energy or God or intelligence, whatever. But you have to realize that that is already in you. So if you're looking for something to bring you joy or to bring you happiness on the outside of life, you are not going to find that. Why are you not going to find anything on the outside of life? You may find, which many people do, temporary joy and happiness on the outside of life. Now, I use the word temporary because it will not last. Anything that's on the outside of life does not last. It changes constantly. This planet is a planet of change. And anything on the outside of life changes. This planet is a planet of duality and a planet of polarities. So you're always going to be back and forth and up and down and in and out and right and wrong. All those things. So when you put any hope on the outside of life, thinking, oh, when I get that home, I'll be happy. When I get that car, I'll be happy. When I get that job, I'll be happy. When I get this, I'll be filled with joy. When I get the right mate, this will happen. It will only be temporary. Anything on the outside of life is temporary. The only constant in your life is what's going on the inside of you. And that's a life force. That's an intelligence. That's a being. And it never changes. That's why I use that little saying, nothing on the outside of life has ever touched you. The person that you truly are, the being that you truly are, nothing on the outside of life has ever touched that. That's why the dish is never dirty. Your spirit, your being, is not affected by the outside of life. It's only affected by the inside of life. But we are so convinced, using this little mind of ours, that it has something to do with the outside, that we keep looking on the outside of life. We keep looking on the outside of life. I've told this story before. When the gods got angry with the human beings, they got together and they said, let's go hide. And they said, we'll hide at the top of the mountain. And some other god said, oh, no, you know humans, they'll find you there. Well, we'll hide at the bottom of the sea. Oh, no, you know humans, they'll find us there. Finally, one god said, oh, I have it. Let's hide within them. They'll never look there. And that's what happened. It's inside of you. Everything that you want is inside of you. Everything. So, this month, the law of mind. We have to start believing that this law absolutely exists. And we absolutely use it. And everything on this planet uses this law of mind. Nothing escapes the law of mind. Or the law of cause and effect. Or the law of intent. They're all the same things. So I'll tell you another cute story. You've all heard of the cuckoo. The cuckoo bird. You know, clocks, cuckoo clocks. But there's an actual bird called the cuckoo bird. Now, why is it called the cuckoo bird? The cuckoo bird does not build a nest of its own. It never builds a nest. It uses other birds' nests. But not only does it use other birds' nests, it lays its egg in the other bird's nest. But how does it do that? Not to how does it lay its egg. The other bird accepts that cuckoo's egg. Why? Because the cuckoo is able to produce an egg that looks exactly like the nest of the other bird. And it doesn't matter what bird it is. It can change the egg anytime it wants. It can change its size and its color, its shape. Now, why does the cuckoo... How does the cuckoo do that? It does that with intent. It does that with a desire. And it's able to change that egg. So, it uses the law of mind. The law of mind is done with desire and intent. What do you intend? Now, this little bird with this little mind that it has can focus on that intent long enough to produce that egg. So if this little bird can do it, what do you think you can do? What do you think you can do? Where is your intent? Where is your focus? What type of egg would you like to lay? What type of egg would you like to lay? It's done with your intent. It's keeping your focus on what you want. You have to focus on it long enough. For mind, now when I use the word mind here, it's with a capital M. It means the big mind. It means this thing that we live, move, and have our being in. You have to keep your intention and your focus long enough to impress mind that that is what you want. You're saying. You have to impress mind. I've used this illustration before. In front of you, it looks like nothing. We call it air. Some people call it ether. but it's a medium that we're living in. So we're going to call this medium out here. The Indians call it prana. We can call it God. But you have to start seeing it differently. So that if you put your hand against it, you're pressing it. Now, if you just keep pressing, that's all well and good. But if you hold it there, it makes a mold. And that mold must be filled. But our problem is we keep moving our hand. We keep changing our mind. We keep changing our focus. And when we do that, it can't fill it for you. It can't fill it. So hold your intention, hold your desire on what you want. And know that you can get what you want. Does anyone know why? This is a rhetorical question. Does anyone know why that is so? Because all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. So when you want something to manifest in your life, think of that crazy cuckoo bird. It is able to produce the size and color and shape of somebody else's egg so that it looks identical to the other bird's egg. And then it hatches. But it does that with that very small mind by using the law of mind and keeping its intent. Now you may say, oh well, it's instinct, it's this, that, the other thing. That doesn't play into it. You see, everyone and everything on this plane of action has to use the law of mind. It just has to. So the other thing about the law of mind is this. You have to start acting as if all the time. You have to assume immediately that you already have everything. As soon as you give an affirmation, as soon as you give a treatment, as soon as you voice a desire, you have to know that it's done. You have to know that it's done. Now you keep your focus on that till that becomes true. It's about the idea that it takes clothes and dwells among you. It just takes form, but you have to keep concentrated on that. You have to keep concentrated on that. And here again, that's an inside job you're doing. You're training your mind. You're training your mind constantly to think the thought that you want to think. To think the thought that you want to think. And not allow the outside world to tell you differently. We all know about the outside world. We all know that we live in a culture that continually changes. We live in a society that continues to change. I spoke earlier about being in Glendale. I went to Glendale because I wanted to see the movie The Duchess. I love movies like that because they take you back not only in time and show me how people behaved in that day and age. It shows you the social structure that they were living in. And because they lived in that particular social structure, they could not think past it. They could not think past the social. You don't think past the social structure that you're living in. Well, how do I know that that's true? Well, I know it's true because you're all wearing clothes. Who told you to wear clothes? The society that you're living in told you to wear clothes. Why do you think children don't want clothes on? You ever see a little kid, you put something on, to rips it right off? Point is, you have to be able to see what the social structure is doing to your thinking, how it is controlling what you're thinking. That's race mind. in the form of culture or in the form of society. Society dictates all these things, you see. Years ago, it was an absolute sin for a woman to show her ankle. Now people are showing their ankles. It's no longer a sin. It no longer turns people on an ankle. You know. You have to see what the world is doing to you and what this society and the culture you're living in is doing to your thinking. Do you think that because it's absolutely true, or do you think that because that's what's going on in the present culture that you're living in? There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But you have to be able to distinguish, you see. And if the world says, or the culture says, no, that can't be done, you take that for granted and say, okay, that can't be done. You see, it has to be able to be done. Otherwise, you can't make the statement, all things are possible with God. So you have to remember that. Remember, it's the number one thing, isn't it? You know the three things. Why don't you tell us, Laurie, the three things that you have?
All things are possible with God. It is done unto you according to your belief. And this or more you can do.
Yes. Those are the three tenets that you should keep in mind all the time. When you're doing any type of thinking, when you're walking around during your day, keep those things at the forefront of your mind. Keep them at the forefront of your mind. That you can do this and better. It's always done unto you as you believe. And all things are possible with God. You see, if you absolutely believe those things, you would have everything that you want. But we give word service to so many things that we truly don't believe. We think that's a nice idea. That's a nice idea, but do we really believe it? Start to believe these things. Start to believe these things. The problem with most of us is that we still live with a residual thing from race mind. And that residual thing that we live with is, we believe we're victims. We believe we're victims. We're taught that from day one when we come in to this world. That the world is against her, this person's against her, my boss is against me, this, that, and the other thing. It's victimhood. And we think that. That didn't happen to me because they didn't like me. This didn't because of this, that, the other thing. Try very hard to give up the idea that you're a victim of any type. You cannot say that all you are is God, that you are not all that God is, and then think that you're a victim, that you're a victim of any type. And if you think you're a victim, then you're going to draw those situations to you where you can be victimized. You're here to be victorious, not to be a victim. And this thing called God is not a victim, nor does God make people victims. We make ourselves victims by believing something that is not true. By believing something that is not true. And what do we believe that's not true? We believe that we're second best. We believe that we're not enough. You have to know that you are enough. And that you're more than enough. And that this power is inside of you. And all the things that you're looking for are inside of you. The joy, the happiness, the love, all of it is inside. So take a few minutes each day and just go inside and see, how am I feeling? How am I feeling? And let it start with you. You know, we're always saying, oh, I wonder how that person's feeling. How are you feeling? Ask yourself personal questions. How am I feeling today? How do I want to change? How could I love myself more? How could I love myself more? And then start doing things for yourself that bring that about. But anything that you want, assume that you already have it. Because you already do. You just don't know that. You just don't know that. Everyone wants to be enlightened. The problem with that is, you have to know that you're already enlightened. And you see, you believe you're not enlightened. So you're looking for something that you already have. You're already enlightened. But you have to keep telling yourself that. If you keep telling yourself, I'm not enlightened, you won't be enlightened. Why? Because of the law of mind. It always listens to what you're saying. That's why it's so important to learn to control your thinking. To be able to separate that thinking away from you. It's not your mind, you see. You have to be able to control it. You have to be able to control your thinking so that you can bring into your life what you want. So it starts where? Inside of you. And what does it start with? It starts with knowing that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. It's always going to start with those four things. Anything in your life that's not working, sit down and ask yourself, oh, am I thinking unworthy thoughts, undeserving thoughts, unlovable thoughts, or thoughts that I don't matter? And then change those thoughts. You see, life is a choice, and you can change that thought. But we allow thoughts to come into our head, and we keep thinking them. You don't have to think any thought that comes into your head. Say, oh, I don't like that thought. Give me another one. Give me another one. And then work on a new thought for yourself. But you have to change those thoughts. They will not change on their own. You have to be diligent in watching what the mind is doing to you. What your mind is doing to you. And I tell you stories how my mind works. Well, I know if my mind works that way, your mind works that way. Your mind works that way. I'll give you another cute example. I called my cousin to ask him a question. And he said to me, we just sat down to breakfast. Could you call back? I said, okay. Now I'm at my kitchen sink. And my mind is going, well, how dare he? He's always that way. He doesn't mind. How am I going to do that? I don't want to think those thoughts. It was quite all right. That was my ego that was a little hurt because somebody asked me to call back. Which I'd have probably done the same thing. I'd have said, I'm eating. Can I call you back? Or can you call back? But you see, we allow the mind then to say, how dare he do that to you? And then we start to pick on him. And I have enough, a list of all the things that Dennis ever did wrong, you see. And I can go right through that list till I can make him about this big. So I change my mind about that and say, I don't want to think those thoughts. That is not the way I want to be. But if I don't change my mind, not only do I destroy him, I destroy myself. Because I'm not the person I want to be. But I'm allowing my mind to tell me that that is all right. And you've all had those situations in your life. I cannot be the only mind that thinks this way. All minds work alike. They may think different thoughts, but they all work alike. And that little ego part of our mind loves to destroy you, and it loves to destroy the people around you. And it will always come up with something to do that. So you have to stop it in the bud. You have to tell it to stop doing that to you. But that is not who you are. Say, oh, you got me confused with somebody else. That's the person I used to be. I have now changed and I expect respect from you, meaning your mind, so that it does what you want it to do. Because I happen to like my cousin very much. But I could have left it go on. And this is how we get into all the situations that we get into. We allow our mind to talk us into something because we feel that we weren't treated right. Always know that you're treated right. Always know that you're not the target. When somebody's mad at you, you're not the target. You're just the only person in front of them at the present moment. So, don't be that. Don't be a target. Don't be a victim. But watch what your mind is saying to you. So, inside of you, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So it's very important to realize that you do matter. And by doing this little dance, we're impressing that upon our minds. We are changing our minds about ourselves. You know, we've been thinking these thoughts for so long that we're not this, we're not that, that we start to accept it. We start to accept that. Don't accept those things about yourself. And if they're true today and you don't want them true tomorrow, start to change them. Start to change them. And it's a choice. You have to decide. You have to keep that intention. You have to keep that focus. Think of that bird, the cuckoo, and say, well, if the cuckoo can do it, I can do it also. If that little bird can lay any shape of egg it wants to lay by its intention, we can do the same. We can do more. I think we're all afraid to do more. That's one of our problems. I have these cards, and I'll make sure that I get enough for everybody. And I handed them out years ago. I know that looks like Chinese there, but that says faith, by the way. It took me a long time to figure that was faith, too. But anyway, here it is. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. No one was there. Fear is always knocking on your consciousness. Fear is always knocking on your mind. I'm afraid I won't have enough money. I'm afraid I won't get this job. I'm afraid gas prices won't go down. I'm afraid I won't be able to retire. I'm afraid I'll lose all my money. That's just fear. Knocking, knocking, knocking. At the door of your mind. So you answer that fear with faith. As soon as you answer it with faith, fear is no longer there. Why is that true? Because you can only think one thought at a time. And the thought that you are thinking at the time is the one that wins. Life is a choice. Do you want to have fear, or you want to have faith? Earlier I said we live on a planet of change. We live on a planet of duality, and we live on a planet of polarity. And because we live on a planet like that, We have faith and we have fear. We have faith and we have fear. But we have a choice. Which one do we want in our life? Which one do we want in our life? The world outside is nothing but fear-based. Everything out there is fear-based. Every time you turn on the television, it's nothing but fear-based. It is always telling you that if you don't do something, this will happen to you. So you, out of fear, buy their product or do what they suggest. Fear comes in many forms. The fear of being alone, the fear of not looking well, the fear of this, that, and the other thing. All cosmetic companies operate on fear. You're afraid you'll get old, so you better spend $9,000 on this face cream. It's all done with fear. But that's in the world, and that's race mind. You don't have to live in fear. You can live in faith. Now your mind is going to say, yes, but look at all that stuff that's happening. Is it happening to you? Is it happening to you? No. No. My other cousin, Joni, called me to see what the fires were doing and if I was in it. I said, no, I'm not. She said, oh, I'm so afraid of all that. I'm so afraid of this fire and all. She said, you know, the whole world is just going to hell. What do you say to somebody like that? The whole world's going to hell because we're having this big fire. Very disappointed with that fire. I hate to see things destroyed. I turned on the television for one moment and I saw all that red and all that sweeping out. I immediately turned that off and talked to the fire and said, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Why is the fire continuing? Because everyone's interested in it. Everyone's watching it. Everyone has their intention on it, don't they? And their focus, not everyone. But there are enough people out there that are absolutely focusing on that fire. You have to withdraw your energy from it and not give it life. And not give it life. We're always going to have fires. The world is not going to hell in a handbasket. The world is not coming to an end. And these things we're going to have. This is a planet of change, and we live in this planet of change. Does anyone remember this little one? I'm always the cause onto my own experience. What does that mean? I'm always the cause onto my own experience. People get many different ideas about that. The idea that I'm always the cause under my own experience means you can change internally anything that happens to you. You are the one that's deciding that. You are the cause under your own experience. If you say I'm having an absolutely rotten time and I'm feeling absolutely horrible about this whole situation and about this whole experience, you are the cause onto that experience. If you change your mind and decide, oh, I can learn something here, or oh, this is interesting, or that's happening, now you've changed that. Now you've changed that. See? It's all when using your mind. Years ago, I knew a lady by the name of Mrs. Goose. Her and her husband had a hobby shop in upstate New York in Syracuse. She hired young people. They hated to sweep the store at nighttime. They didn't want to sweep up dirt. She said to them, pretend they're diamonds. Pretend they're diamonds. And now you'll be able to sweep them up. It's done with perspective. It's done with perspective. It's done with changing your mind. someone changing your mind of who you are and what you are. You have to remember that you are one with this thing called God. And it's because of that oneness that you're able to do all these marvelous things. So then we make that other big statement, don't we, that we're one with everything because everything is God. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So we must be one with the cuckoo bird, mustn't we? The cuckoo bird has to be one with God. We have to be one with God. Hence, we must be one with the cuckoo bird. So if the cuckoo bird can change the shape and color of its eggs with its intention, we can too. We can change ourselves. We can change our environment. We can change our life. We can change our life. And in order to do that, you must give up the old. You can't hang on to those old ideas of who you think you are. If they're not serving you, give them up. Okay, you're always the cause only your own experience. And this one is its companion. You feel the way you do right now because of the thoughts you are thinking at this moment. Feeling always follows thought. Feeling always follows thought. You feel the way you do right now because of the thoughts you are thinking at this moment. What thought are you thinking at this moment? Are you thinking I'm whole and I'm complete and I'm perfect? I'm one with this thing called God. There is a law of mind and I'm able to use that law of mind. Or once again, are you convinced by the outside world? Are you convinced by the problems that you're having, the troubles you're experiencing? Or do you realize that you can change those? You're always bigger than anything that's presented to you on the outside of life. Always bigger. And you could always conquer. How do we know that? We have a wonderful story in the Bible when it's read metaphysically. And it's the story of David and Goliath. Goliath in our life is that big thing that we think we can't conquer. Goliath was a giant. And we do that to ourselves. We puff up our problems, don't we? We make them enormous. And we say, oh, I could never solve that problem. It's just too big for me. I have to call in other people. Then you must remember that you're David and you have a slingshot. And in that slingshot is a little wee rock. And when that rock is aimed correctly, that giant falls. That rock, that wee little pebble, is faith. Is faith. Nothing can stand how big, I don't care how big it is or how big you think it is. Nothing can withstand faith. So here again, it's a choice of learning to control your thinking. Bring your thinking back constantly to that idea that all things are possible with God. You can do this and more. And it's always done unto you as you believe. So what are you believing? Are you believing that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? And are you believing it morning, noon, and night? Are you learning to love yourself more and more and more? By appreciating What a wonderful miracle that you are. What a wonderful miracle you are. Are you able to go into your mind and remember all your accomplishments? Or are you able to go into your mind very quickly and come up with all the things you haven't done? The mind remembers too easily what you haven't done. Try to remember what you have done. Try to remember what you know. See, we're always more interested in what we don't know than what we know. Get interested in what you know and it will grow. If you're interested in what you don't know, that's going to grow. And you're never going to allow yourself to know anything. The same way, just declare right now that you are enlightened. Remember my friend Lorraine? That convention in Hawaii? And I said to her when she got back early, it was a 2-week convention, she said, I was there 2 days, Dallas, and she said, I just looked at that, and she said, I put my hand out like that, looked at the palm of my hand, and went, healed, and came home. This is what you have to do for yourself. Look at your hand and say, healed. You have to know that you're already healed. You're not going to get well till you know you're healed. You're waiting to be healed. You can't wait for anything. You're waiting to be rich. You have to know that you're rich now. You're waiting to be successful. You have to know that you're successful now. Everything is done in the moment. Everything is done right here and right now. All things are done in mind. But you have to know that. But you live in this plane of action, which tells you you have to wait. There's no waiting in the mind of God. Everything is instantaneous. Now, because we live on this plane of action, things get slowed down, they get heavy sometimes. So it takes a little time for one thing to catch up with the other. But with the law of mind, you have to know that it's already done. You always have to see the end of the journey. So if you're getting sick, or you think you're getting sick, you have to immediately sit down and know that you're healed. You have to sit down and know that you're healed. But you sit down and say, oh, it's coming on. Oh, I'm feeling bad. Now I'm doing it. And you're going to feel it. Money. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. You can never tell yourself you don't have any money. How can you make the statement, money is freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus, if you think you don't have any money? If you think you don't have any money, you're not going to have any money. So you have to think that you're rich right now. And you have to start feeling rich. And you have to start feeling successful. And when you generate that, that comes up from within you. And what you want will come there. We're all so busy trying to accomplish all these things. We're trying to accomplish a healing. We're trying to accomplish success. We're trying to accomplish money. We're trying to accomplish a relationship. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. The things that you want, money, love, relationships, creative self-expression, those are side effects. Those are side effects. And you keep concentrating on the side effect instead of concentrating within and knowing that you're whole and you're complete and you're perfect. And start loving yourself. Start appreciating yourself. Start seeing yourself as the marvelous individual that you are. Not separated from this thing called God, and not separated from other people. And don't let your mind say, well, that somebody else could do that, but I can't because I've done all these bad things in my life. You've done nothing bad in your life. You have just done things in your life. And they didn't work out. Most of the things that you think are bad didn't work for you. It was society or culture that told you that that was bad. You see, if society changed or culture changes, then it's all right to do those things. Now you wouldn't be bad anymore. So you see how fickle the world is, and you see how fickle those things are. Now do you want to be fickle also? So you have to forgive yourself right away. Remember we had the thing, I'm innocent? You're always innocent. This thing called God always holds you as innocent. You just tried things, you did things, and they didn't work. Or you bought into the culture, you bought into the society, you bought into Reese's mind. But now you wake up. Now you wake up. And you change your mind about it. You've heard many times and seen big placards people carrying, repent, repent, repent. And it's throughout the Bible, repent, repent, repent. Metaphysically, what repent means is to change your mind. Repent, think differently. All of life is the idea of learning to think differently. If you want to change anything, you have to think differently about it. If you want to change yourself, you have to start thinking differently about yourself. How's your finger? I don't see anything on there.
I took the splint off because it was making it worse. It's okay, I can move it now.
Yeah. And last week you weren't moving it. All things are possible. All things are possible with God. Now my next question to you, Rob. You work out. You lift weights. Before that, what were you? Thin? 95-pound weakling. The reason why I ask that is, you see, he's taking an action step. He's doing something, but he's changing himself. You see, he's changing his body. And he's doing that by taking an action step. But he's not changing his mind because he won't take an action step. He thinks it's going to happen. It's not going to happen till you make it happen. Till you start to correct your thinking, nothing is going to happen to you. The same way you're not going to get muscles if you don't go to the gym. You're not going to get muscles if you don't pick something up. Your mind is not going to change unless you change it. Unless you change it. And when you know that you can correct your body, when you can change your body, can't you see how powerful you are? Can't you see how powerful you are? Your body has no mind of its own. You're the one that's causing your body. And if you want to change your body, you know how to change your body. That's very powerful. Very powerful. So if you can change your body, you can change your mind. You've changed your body, have you not? Yes. Now change your mind the same way. You see, we separate. What do we separate? Body, mind, and spirit. That's an absolutely, absolutely, absolutely ridiculous thing. We only do that so we can talk about it. The same way when I say the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the superconscious mind, you think there's three minds out there? No. We just talk that way because we want to separate them and so we can talk about them. So we say body, mind, and spirit. You're all one. It's all rolled into one thing. Do you get that? It's all rolled into one thing. So if you could change your body, you're changing your mind at the same time. You can't do it separately. You made up your mind to lift weights. You made up your mind to change your body. Your mind heard that. Now your mind is telling your muscles, get big, do this, do that. And yes, it requires going to the gym or picking up weights or doing something, but you're doing it. But don't ever separate yourself out like that body mind is. Well, I'm fixing my body right now. Your body is your mind. Your body is your spirit. They're all one and the same thing. We just talk about them. We just separate them so we're able to talk about them. But you cannot separate your body and your mind and your spirit. It's all together, complete. So when you can change your body, that's very powerful. And if you can change your body, you can change your mind. Does that make sense to you? So think of that. What am I going to do? Change. If you want change, the easiest way to start anything is to change your body first. The body will respond. While you're changing your body, you're changing your mind. Because now, you have a different image of yourself than you had before. And that's all that it requires, is getting a better, bigger idea of who you are. Every day, get a bigger, better idea of who you are. I can do this. Oh my, I can do that. Oh my God. Make yourself bigger and bigger every day. You're unlimited. Your mind is unlimited. Your thinking is unlimited. Now discipline it and control it so that you can use this thing called the law of mind, which actually does exist. And that's what you have to remember. That what you think about, you bring about. That thoughts are powerful. They go someplace and they do something. And that's where your power lies, in knowing that. But if you do it willy-nilly, then that's what you're going to get back. That's what you're going to get back. The universe has a wonderful law which says nothing for nothing. If you give it nothing, it gives you nothing. You must always pay in the coin of the realm. And the coin of the realm here is mental, because it's a mental world we live in. So use your mind to change the world around you. That doesn't mean you're going to change everybody. You're going to change your world. Remember my little things? Thank God I don't live in your universe when people get crazy. Let them live in their own universe. You live in your universe. You're not responsible for all that other stuff. You're responsible for yourself. The greatest gift you can leave behind this world, the greatest gift you can give while you're here, is to learn to control your thinking so that you don't add one more crazy person to the group. Learn to do that. You are being urged to love yourself and your earth plane experience. Urged to love yourself. Has anyone ever urged you? The universe, this thing called God, is urging you all the time to love yourself. To love yourself. We bring more things into our life because we don't love ourselves. Sit and love yourself every moment. And that means love yourself for all the warts and all that kind of stuff, even for all the bad things you did, you know. I did a lot of bad things. I wasn't always angelic. Help is here now. A gentle, more compassionate wisdom is available for those of us who yearn to reawaken the spirit, to reawaken the experience of ourselves as a part of God. As a part of God. Help is here now. This thing called God is with you every day. You're connected to it. You are it, for goodness sakes. So learn to experience that and change your life. Awaken to the experience. And that wisdom is available to you. But you have to say to yourself, I'm one with God. And then start to feel that. You know, when we talk about God here all the time, God is not a thought, people. God is beyond thoughts. God is beyond words. God is feeling. The life of the organism is feeling. What are you feeling? Not what are you thinking. What are you feeling, and what are you feeling about yourself? Fall in love with yourself. Have a romance with yourself. Nurture yourself. If you can't do any of that, be good to yourself, for goodness sakes. Be good to yourself. Don't let your mind beat you up. Talk about victimhood. You're a victim if you allow your mind to talk down to you. You placed yourself in victimhood. You are not your mind. You know, most of us would punch somebody else out if they told us the things that our mind tells us. We'd punch them out and never want to see them again. But yet we let our mind tell us, you're no good. You're an alcoholic. You're a this. You're a that. You have a disease. You're none of those things. You're above all those things. You're bigger and greater than all those things. So go to that part of you. Go to that part of you. Don't buy in to appearances. The job is to discipline yourself and your mind toward one goal. Discipline yourself towards one goal and keep that. You know, I have people that come to me. In fact, I had a client today. She has a list of things she wants to accomplish. The list is too big. The list is too big. If you want to accomplish something, accomplish one thing. If you have a lot of things to do, cut it down to three things. But as soon as the mind sees 20, 30 different items and things you want to do, it shuts down. It just shuts down. Be kind to yourself. Do one thing a day. Have one goal. What is the goal in your life? The goal in your life is to be successful. Then keep that. Keep that. You don't have to fill in all that other stuff, you know. I never filled in all that stuff. I always thought it was sort of boring. You have to know that I'm successful, and I'm successful now. This thing called God will do the rest for you. We'll do the rest for you. If your goal is to be successful, that will happen. Why? Because it's already done. You just can't see it. Remember, there's a camouflage on top of everything. Take the camouflage off. Oh, this one I told you before. You are not enlightened because you choose not to be aware you already are. You see, we choose not to be aware that we're already rich, that we're already successful. We just choose not to believe that. So now we go out and look for it somewhere else instead of staying here and knowing. And knowing that you are already successful. We seem to be learning that the awareness of the vast sky is the goal, not the passing cloud. I've said that so many times. What that means is there are always going to be clouds in the sky. Don't focus on the clouds. Focus on the blue sky. Behind the clouds, you're saying. That's the permanent thing in your life. It never changes. But we're always focusing on something that changes. A cloud changes. You can watch it change form while you're looking at it. The blue sky never changes. God never changes. The law of mind never changes. It's an immutable law. It works for everyone. It works for everyone. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.